so dry as fire.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day. Thank you for life and health and strength. Pray your good hand upon us as we gather together this evening. Please with Pat and Steve, with Will. Please help both their health, Lord. And I just pray you too for Frank. For Christine and Marianne. I pray for Winston and Nicolette too. For the folks in the room, the folks that have been ministered to recently and over the years, Lord. I pray you please that all of these offerings and invitations and attempts to see souls saved, Lord, would not go to waste. Please bless our time in your presence. Please use it, Lord, to work on our hearts and minds and make us better people. More pleasing sons and daughters. Leave these things at your feet, Father. We pray them all according to your will. Amen. Now, this evening, because I've been busy chatting and doing other things, I haven't picked any hymns, so if you have one, I am more than happy to entertain your suggestions this evening. In the meantime, we're going to begin with 162, to God be the glory. 162, to God be the glory. And we will remain seated as we sing.
Through God.
You got one coming.
It's not
a demand, Mrs. Bradford.
To another?
Which we sang not that long ago, what was it?
Did we?
I think we did. Oh, to 11. To 11. Sounds familiar.
I'm fairly certain we have sung.
Whosoever meaneth me. 2:11. Let's give it a shot.
I think we've sung it here.
One of
the. If I'm wrong, I'll sing extra loudly.
There you go.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son unto your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did serve unto them which by nature are no gods. And now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly element, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labour in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is he then, the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record, that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well, ye that would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, whom I prevail in birth again unto Christ, be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. But he who was the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory for those? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which generated to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is the bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice thou, barren, and beareth not, break forth and cry, thou that prevailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. For we brethren, as Isaac was, as are the children of promise. But as when then he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Bless you, sir. Teaching there, teaching about the old nature and the new nature and how that was taken way back in Abraham's day. That example has been set for pretty much all of modern civilization. We don't give in to the old nature. We listen to, or should listen to, and follow the new nature. Thank you for that. And kudos up to number 44 in the USA, upstairs in Altmigill. Just like to say, I went up to visit Steve on Tuesday afternoon, and he seemed to be doing very well. He was much improved. He looked stronger. He sounded stronger. His walking is, compared to what it was, is very, very good. So I appreciate your prayers for his continued recovery. He was saying the doctors and nurses are very pleased with his recovery. I think he said they were sort of amazed at his recovery. We're pleased as well. That's definitely an answer to prayer. So please do continue to pray for Steve. Pray for Pat as well, as she continues to visit up and down. I know there's a lot of there's a few other family members that are up there regularly. Please do pray for them. Right. Please continue to pray for Will. He's coming round, but I think he's recovering from chest infection. So he has been keeping a low profile for the past week and a half until his chest clears up. Please do pray for him. Right, and Colin is flying off to Ukraine tomorrow morning.
Yes.
So pray for Colin until we hear from him again. I know we pray for everybody anyway, but this is just church news. Don't forget to pray for Ling and Norman, Monica and me, Will, this team, Mary Ann, Frank, Dr. Shine, and for the outreach that continues on Saturday mornings and Sunday afternoons up at the Crescent Link. That's certainly a need. The world, the flesh, and the devil has done a bang up job at destroying people's relationships with everybody, and many even with their relationship with the Lord has been hurt as well. And it is something that we need to cultivate and pursue regardless. Everybody needs a good relationship with God, so please do pray for each other. Is there anything else we need to cover? Yes, Mrs. Bradley.
Any word on Frank's surgery?
I don't know if they have the date in the 30th of March, but I don't know what's that for. So Brian will phone them this week or next week.
So just waiting to see.
Yeah.
Well, I have a dentist appointment, I think, on the 13th or 14th.
21st.
Good job. I would have turned up and got some of the answers dental work done. But please do appreciate your prayers for that, although I'm feeling very brave after the last one. I still want you to pray for it. Please do pray for Monica's mom. She's still in a bit of bad shape after recovering from broken legs and fractures in her back and a stroke, and it's really knocked the wind out of her this past few years, so we would appreciate your prayers for her as well. Is there anything, does anybody have anything else that they would like to even just let us know what they are by way of praying for them? Anybody, any private prayer requests? Thank you, Ben. Good job. Do you?
Keep me on the list.
Any time that you're over there and you've got Wi-Fi or a signal, you can send me a text. It'd be still a private prayer request, because this, I think this list will be replaced for not next week, the week after. So, amen. All right. Yeah, that's about that. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue on. Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the open invitation to come into your presence. The very holiest of holies, all through the blood of your Son, Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, I pray, Father, please, just for the right person to speak to or give a leaflet to. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith and our strength. And you increase our assurance, Lord. Let us remember that no matter what's going on, there's a home in heaven for us. Please bless us, Lord, as we take this time in your presence. We pray, Lord, for Frank's up-and-coming hospital appointment, my dental appointment, for Colin's going over to Ukraine, for Steve, Lord, and his continued improvement, and for Pat and the rest of the family, too. Pray for Will, and pray that he would set him back in the street for the weekend, get to see him again. And for his mom and his grandma, for Dr. Shine, for Norman, for each one of our private prayer requests, for Pat especially, Pat. For all those men that love you, Lord, and are prepared to stand out from the crowd and preach the gospel, I pray that you bless them in power and courage, even in the face of being arrested for praying privately into your head. My goodness. I pray, Lord, that you would oppose all those that hate you and are going out of their way to hurt your children. I pray, Father, please, at every turn, even a night's sleep, I pray, Father, that you would take the joy away from them, take their happiness away from them. Please save souls. Please, Lord, I pray you edify us, your children. And Lord, we love you and thank you. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, let's sing another song. You got one, Norman?
406.
406. Which one's that?
Who's on the right side?
Good one. That's, we'll stand as we sing that one. Hymn number 406. Who is on the Lord's side?
That one's a good belter song.
We'll remain seated for All the Way My Savior Leads Me, 110. Thank you for that moment. Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, so about a third of the way, a quarter of the way through your Bible. Amen. 1st Kings, chapter 1. There's a lot of verses in this. I'd like to read them all, and I would like to spend a minute or two on the subject of let's pretend. Let's pretend. There's 53 verses. This might be one of the longer ones. It's a good old story. Let's pretend, and the interesting life and times and family of King David. First book of Kings, chapter 1, the word of God says, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heed. Therefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may give heed. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishai, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him. But the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith," that's the firstborn of, well, all that's left of the firstborn of one of David's wives, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" And he was also a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom, another of the king's sons. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheloth, which is by goodness, and Rogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee to confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber. And the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king, and the king said, What wouldest thou? And she said unto him, My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, Behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, My lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah should reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day, and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, God save King Adonijah. But me, even thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon hath he not called. Is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, Call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, As the Lord liveth that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king, and said, Let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, Take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God of my Lord, the king, says so too. As the Lord hath been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule, and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle, and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of it. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest, came, and Adonijah said unto him, Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bring us good tidings. And Jonathan said to Adonijah, Verily, our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. And the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused them to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye have heard. And also Solomon sat upon the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also thus said the king, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid, and rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, Go to thine house. Amen. That is our reading, and we're going to consider the whole story of the crowning of King Solomon and the pretenders to the throne for just a little bit this evening. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray your help as we read, as we consider this chapter of your word. We pray too for those that really do need you around the world, for those that are calling out. Pray you bring to their remembrance, we portion of scripture, just something to help them, Lord. Point that soul to the foot of the cross, just to build their faith, to assure. We want to see souls saved, and we want to see heaven populated with familiar faces, Lord. Please save souls. And be with us. Amen. Amen. Let's Pretend is the title for the service this evening. And we're going to consider a couple of the characters that were mentioned here and one or two others that were not mentioned. But as you can see, there was a lot of intrigue. And that one, in these first few chapters of the book of 1 Kings, I have not marked any verses at all. Because every time I go to reading them, it's like an adventure story that just grips me, and I am a couple or two or three chapters in before I realize that, hey, there were some good verses back there, but the story carried me along. It's nothing new. There have always been pretenders to the throne. I think we are seeing Harry and Meghan as one of the pretenders, or I think they call him a spare, but crying and whinging because he'll never amount to anything, says the man with the silver spoon stuck firmly in his mouth and a full bank account. What a tough life he has. But anyway, even before this, there were many things wrong with King David's reign. I want you to bear in mind that David was called the apple of God's eye. He was revered, worshipped by the people because he had saved the country so many years previously as, not Jack the Giant Killer, that's an old fairy tale, David the Giant Killer. David, the man that killed Goliath when he was but a child. But David wasn't a spotless man. First of all, he was called a bloody man because he had been in warfare a lot. He had killed a lot of men. And God, when David had wanted to build a new temple, God said, David, you are a bloody man. I can't have you build the temple, but I will have your son Solomon do it. A couple of the other things that David did were, well, he had a whole bunch of wives. I've got a few names here. I probably missed one or two. But he had a wife called Ahinoam, Abital, Amiel, Abigail, Bathsheba or Bathsheba, Eglah, Merah, and of course the one we saw there, Abishag, the wife of his old age, and another girl called Maacah, and the Bible also says he had concubines as well. Now the thing about it is, and one of the commands to the king was to write out their own copy of the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, which contained God's law. And one of the books, Deuteronomy 17, says expressly that multiplying wives, gold, silver, ore, and horses to yourself is going to take your mind off of God. So immediately, David's in trouble. And we all know how this all came to a head. Laziness and adultery and murder. And that's in the apple of God's eye. He should have been away out to war with his men, and he was lying in his bed, and he got up out of bed one evening and saw Bathsheba washing herself out, or she shouldn't have been washing herself out, and maybe on a veranda or something like that. And he committed adultery with her, had her husband killed, and then the baby died, and the next child that David had with Bathsheba was Solomon. So talk about an episode of Dallas or Dynasty or EastEnders or Brookside. It's all there. It's gripping stuff and you should read it. Adonijah is the fourth son, right? The ones prior to that, Amnon, he was killed by his half-brother Absalom for assaulting Absalom's sister. And Absalom was killed by Joab whenever he tried to take the throne from his father David. And this is in the own family. There is so much strife. And here we have the account how Adonijah becomes a pretender to the throne, claims the throne, and word gets about that he's done this, and it gets back to David, and he crowns Solomon the king. And then everybody sort of gets very afraid, because they weren't soft people back then. They were called mighty men of war. They were called valiant men. And Joab and I think Benaiah, they were the sort of head the balls that we would turn today. If the king said, go and kill that person, they wouldn't think twice about it. They trusted implicitly this man anointed by God that when he gave them a command was right and just and needed to be done. And the Bible says many times they fell upon such and such a person with a sword. That doesn't mean they tripped on their laces. It means they jumped up in the air or whatever. They ran at this person with the sword expertly and quickly killed him. Adonijah hears about this and he goes, oh no, I should have been the one to get it. But the throne was appointed to Solomon. Everybody runs for cover, the king's other sons. Adonijah, he runs into the temple thinking he'll be safe there. And he grabs a hold of the horns of the altar, almost like a sanctuary. And he calls for his brother, Solomon, his half-brother. And he says, well, I did try to take the kingdom from you, but would you spare my life? And Solomon says, if you behave yourself, I will. Now, like I mentioned earlier on, if this was, it sounds like Brookside or EastEnders with all the shenanigans that go on there. And honestly, if you lived in Brookside Close or if you lived in Albert Square, you would check the real estate far, far away from there. The pretenders to the throne were not tolerated, and their lives hung in the balance. They thought they were owed something that they weren't, but they thought they were something that they weren't. And the end of it all, it cost them very dearly. As we read on, or in fact, if you take the time to read on in 1 Kings 2, you see that later on, this pretender to the throne, after a little bit of time has passed, and he starts to feel brave again, he asks for Abishai, the king's last wife, for his own wife. And word gets round to Solomon. And Solomon says he has done this against himself. To marry the king's wife would give him another claim to the throne. He has tried again at the cost of his life, and he had him killed, along with all of the big cheeses that went there to anoint him king. Does anyone here remember ever playing Let's Pretend? Let's pretend to be knights. Let's pretend to be soldiers. Let's pretend to be spacemen. I am sure we've all done that at one time or other. We take on the persona of the character we want to play, and then for a little bit of time, we are the knight, and maybe we're swinging a big stick, or we are a soldier, we're holding the stick like that, or two bits of wood with a couple of nails through them, and making a handle, and you're going, pow, 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 I got you. No, you didn't, I did, I got you, I shot you, I could see you, and all that there. Or in Spaceman, you were on your bike and you thought you were flying a spaceship around us and you were making all the sounds. We pretended for a little bit of time to be something we weren't, just to have a bit of a gag. The reason these people were called pretenders to the throne was because it wasn't theirs. It was never theirs. But they wanted it. They weren't prepared for it. It wasn't prepared for them. But pretenders always brought about strife and trouble and conflict. Now, you might think today that's a whole different kettle of fish. But I want for you to remember that there are a lot of pretenders out there at the moment. People tune in for endless man hours every single day of the week to watch people on a plastic box pretend to have better lives than them. And they're so successful that people pay fortunes and money to watch them. Or, in the case of politics, electing people that claim to love their country and the people in it to rule it for a little bit while they can. But we have seen so often that the souls that many people worship and praise and even envy, they're not real. The lives that they have are not real, and the aspirations that many people have aimed in that direction aren't real either. Normally it involves huge amounts of money and power and glory. And these people, because they're not prepared for that, don't know how to wield that properly, or make that their aim, the money, the power, and the glory. The Bible does talk about holding people in authority accountable for the things that they do, but most times these folks are just in it for themselves. It's the same even in Christian circles, and about how many unregenerate souls are literally skinning Christians alive. There are preachers in this town that are not saved and can't stand saved people, preachers. There are ministers in this town, there are priests in this town, who are not on the road to heaven, who are making merchandise out of God's house for their own benefit and to the detriment of all of the people in the church, pretending to be God's man. In other places, there are people that say, oh, I can heal. All I have to do is touch you or wave my dirty laundry at you and it'll knock you down. I can speak in tongues. I can slay in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is upon me. Don't you dare disagree or even ask any questions. Or, I'm saved, but I love to drink. I enjoy drugs. I enjoy immorality. I enjoy beating the living daylights out of people. That doesn't sound like someone with a new nature, one little bit. Pretenders never last. Because if it's not real, eventually the real will show. We have seen that in our political spectrum. We've even seen it in religious spheres as well. There's a little thing I used to mention from time to time. Whenever you're not on the level, the Lord knows straight away, even before you, that you're going to do it. And people, i.e. me, find out sooner or later. You cannot pretend in Christian circle. It is as blatant and obvious as the nose in your face whether you're real or not. The Bible talks about the Spirit in me bearing witness with the Spirit in you whether or not we are the children of God. And it's easy to come to church, and it's easy to be a Christian for an hour. It's not so easy when it comes to singing and reading your Bible and your Bible knowledge and the giving that you do to support the church. That's when it really starts to cut close to the knuckle. But I want for you to know that pretending to be a Christian has absolutely no benefits in this world at all. You will not be benefited in this world at all. Maybe in one or two houses, maybe in a fraction of the buildings, you will be welcomed as a brother or sister in Christ. You get a bed for the night and a hot meal. But there is no benefit to being a Christian. So why even pretend? Because there are wolves out there that know the nature of a Christian and how easy it is to exploit. But for the soul that isn't a Christian, the Lord had a couple of wee parables. And he put it like this. It's in Matthew chapter 9. He said, no man puts a piece of a new cloth onto an old garment, but that which is put into filleth up, taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottle break, the wine runneth out, the bottles perish. They put new wine in new bottles, and both are preserved. And that is sin. It is devilishly hard for a lost person to behave like a saved person. Basically, the gospel is wasted on you, it's ruined in your sight, because you don't have the power to live the way a Christian does. For a saved soul, you have God as your Father. And many times, we will aim to please God at our own expense with our own time and money and effort. Lost souls don't have God as their Father. They don't have Jesus Christ as their intercessor and Savior. And they don't have the Holy Spirit as a comforter and friend. They don't have the ministrations of angels, which are sent by God Almighty to minister to those that would be heirs of salvation. And the promises of God, as you do the things that he asks you to do, they're not for you, they're for his children. You don't have the assurance of heaven. You're continually hoping for the best. So that even on your worst of days, Christian, you're still going to heaven. But on the worst days that a lost man has, he has nothing. But even with that, as Christians, we still fall short. But when we do, we still have the promise, yes, we're going to heaven. We might ruin a day, or we might hurt our testimony, but we're still going to heaven. I was just reading here in verse 43 of 1 Kings 1. There comes a time when all contenders realize that it's not real, that their little plans come crashing down. And I believe it was in verse 43 when Adonijah the pretender invited Jonathan, the prophet, the priest, to come in. He said, "What's the score, Jonathan?" And Jonathan said, "Adonijah, Solomon has been anointed king." That was the crux. That was when the rubber met the road. That was when Adonijah realized that his number was up. That's whenever his life was forfeited. That's when everybody else that supported them realized that things were not going to go as well as they had hoped over the next few days and weeks and months. And there's always, always a remedy. Saved or lost, there's always a remedy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about, well, it says these words, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So let every man take care what he buildeth upon, whether it's gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. The day will declare that it will be tried by fire." Basically, the eyes of God, which are like a fire, will look at every single deed that you and I have done, will look at all of our situations and efforts, and will see, no matter how nice a bow you put on it down here, whether that was for you or whether it was for God. Now, a lot of people do things in sight of people to get a pat on the back. Let's be honest, it's nice to get a pat on the back. It's nice to get a thank you. It's nice to be appreciated. Some people do it to be seen. The Lord said, this is what God said, "Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing." When God asks you to do a thing, do it. And don't make a song and dance about it. Don't be like, as the Lord said, about the scribes and the Pharisees that love to stand in the center, in the corners of the marketplaces with their scripture verses and this, that, and the other, and stand in church with their hands open wide, praying like, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like all these other plebs in the church." And the man that stood in the corner and just said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." You don't have to pretend. There's nothing in it for you to pretend to be a Christian. You can be a Christian, but pretending to be a Christian is not helping you any. The end result of these pretenders was lives were lost. Many lives were lost. And it's the same every time. You might think, "Oh, I can pretend to be a Christian and go to church and have people around me to help me," but in the end of it all, you never get saved. Your life will be lost. And the lives of those that you have loved and influenced and see you at home, they also will see that the Christianity that you purport to support is just outright blatant hypocrisy. Do it for real. And get all the benefits that God has for us. I don't know if anybody here ever played video games. In the old video games, there used to be a thing called cheat codes. God mode, it used to be. And nothing could touch you. You never ran out of ammunition. You could jump to the height of houses and do all stupid stuff in the game to win the game. That's the way I live my life, folks. I live it on God mode. Because I would hate to have to go back to dealing with everything on my own. Do you know how good it is to have Christian family? Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know how good it is to have the Holy Spirit living within you as your helper and guide, giving you a wee nudge here and there, pointing you in the right direction, or reminding you of a scripture verse? Do you know how good it is to have Jesus Christ interceding for you whenever the devil comes or pointing his finger at you? Do you know how great it is to have a father to speak to who will send the angels to help me. Those are the things that are there for the real Christians. Like I said, it doesn't take very long to spot a fake. And they're not helping anybody, not even themselves. I just pray you, that you be real with God. Don't, see, even when you're praying to God, talk to Him about everything. Talk to Him about the things that bother you. Talk to Him about the things that stop you from being a better son of God. Talk to Him about the things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but do. Even if it's just to say, Lord, I'm having a tremendous amount of difficulty. I'm going to stop praying for strength, Lord, because if I do, I'm going to wring somebody's neck. I pray for wisdom instead. Lord, help me. Pray about everything. And let God into every part of your life. Don't pretend. Be real. Has anybody ever seen any of those YouTube clips where they're talking that there's a little child who's gone and gotten himself or herself into the chocolate cake? Have you ever seen any of those? And the wee child standing up there in her nappy, as bold as you like, and mummy says, you had chocolate cake. And she's chocolate cake all over her face. She says, no, you had chocolate cake. No, I didn't. And denies it even though it's all over her face. We are that little child. God is that parent who magically seems to know things that we can't even comprehend. And that wee child probably goes, how does she know that I had the chocolate cake? That's us with God. You can talk to Him about anything. You can do the crazy things that happened in the Bible. I honestly believe that when people point to certain times in their lives and say, that was my walking on the water moment. That was my impossible moment. I think I have been in an impossible moment for the past 25 years. God loves us to pieces, even lost souls. And He wants the very best for us. Be honest with Him. You're honest with God. It's much easier to be honest with yourself and the people round about. He said in Matthew chapter 11, I think it's verse 27, He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We'll stop him there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We'll sing a song. I think it'll be my pick this time again, unless Colin, you have one, have you?
Yeah, I've been good.
In the black book?
Yes.
First song. Good job. Number one in the wee black books will stand as we sing.
How great that are. You don't care, but it's the one that I was thinking of after our first song this morning, this evening.
I'm
Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time set aside from the Word. Please bless it, Lord. Please help us always to remember to just be real. Love you and praise you. Please see us safely home. Please, Lord, spare lives in this bad weather. And please save souls if I haven't asked for that already. Please look after Colin as he travels. Please be with those that couldn't be here for whatever the reason. And Lord, we pray most importantly for your will to be done. Love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. Amen.